Hola, I'm Claudia Romo Edelman.
And I'm Cynthia Kleinbaum-Milner.
And this is a podcast a la Latina.
The playbook to succeed being your authentic self.
Today, an incredible guest, Nancy Reyes, CEO of BBDO The Americas. And here are the key three takeaways.
Number one, the importance of taking advantage of the programs made to assist Latinos. She is literally the poster child of affirmative action.
Number two, how she used her Latinidad to stand out as an account manager in her firm. She sees Latinas as excellent at debating, who can utilize her ease to speak with confidence and passion to win more and more.
And number three, she built a case for Latinas seeking a career in advertising. Because remember, creativity and originality cannot be replaced by AI.
All of that and more here at A La Latina. Cynthia, tell me more about Money Lion. What is your favorite product?
The product that I love the most first was our credit builder loan. When I moved to the US, I realized that a good credit score impacts so many aspects of our life. If you have a high credit score, you can get lower interest rates on loans and credit cards, better insurance rates, and better chances of getting a loan. Can you imagine that more than half of our members raise their credit score by up to 27 points in 60 days?
Wow. Okay, so I'm learning something new here, and I should be checking on my credit score myself.
Everybody should, and it's super easy. So for anyone out there needing to improve their credit score or even know your credit score, come to Money Lion.
That's amazing. How do you access the credit builder loan?
Two ways. Either go to moneylion.com/membership or download the Money Lion app.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm in.
Are you ready to turn your best ideas into a thriving online business?
Introducing Shopify, your no-excuses business partner. You might not realize, but our podcast, More Than Mummies, it's a business. And we started it, of course, to talk about maternity, not to become an e-commerce expert.
So yeah, we needed some help selling our merch and getting our store up and running. Woohoo! Another sale!
Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
No matter if you are a garage entrepreneur or a big business, Shopify is the only tool you need to start and grow your business without the struggle.
With a Shopify single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere, giving you the insights you need wherever you are. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/sonoro to take your business to the next level today.
shopify.com/sonoro.
Today, the incredible Nancy Reyes.
Nancy is the CEO of BBDO Americas.
She's the board chair of the Creative Ladder, a non-for-profit offering vital career development training and resources at no cost to creative talents from underrepresented backgrounds.
She was a founding member of Time's Up, an ad color legend in 2021.
Nancy was recently appointed to the Fast Company Impact Council Board.
She's a director of the Ad Council, the Ad Club of New York, Rare Disease Renegades, and Prep for Prep.
Incredible to have you here. Thank you so much for being with us here at A La Latina.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
Thank you, Nancy. Nancy, we want to start by getting to know you better. What's your background? What made you be who you are and what you do today?
Yeah, so I grew up here in New York City, in Queens, in Long Island City, which is not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. It was definitely more projects, warehouses. My mother was from El Salvador. My father was from Puerto Rico. She cleaned houses. He drove a taxi. So life was, you know, super, super difficult. We struggled very much. We were very, very poor. But education was, you know, the first priority. My sister and I did everything we could to just work super hard, study a lot, and keep advancing a little at a time, you know, to get to where we are today. So the big thing that shaped my life, and I think my sister's life, was when we were in the fifth grade, there was a program called Prep for Prep. And Prep for Prep helps inner city kids of color get into private schools in New York City. You go through two schools at the same time, your regular school and then an extra school on Wednesdays and Saturdays in summer school to catch up to the private school kids. And then you go into private school. Mm-hmm. So we went to private school for middle school, high school, and then eventually college. So it was really Prep for Prep was the thing that made you know, my life possible.
Both you and your sister?
Both me and my sister.
And you were like excellent students, or how did you get in?
We were really good students. At the time, the teachers would nominate the best students, and Prep for Prep would come around to the different schools in the different boroughs in the underprivileged, super poor places in New York City and say, who are your best students? Because we have a chance to bring them up into private schools, and the private schools wanted more kids of color.
How did it feel to be the poor kid in the private school?
That was the hardest thing, for sure. For all that I loved Prep for Prep, what it didn't do at the time, and it is doing it now, is prepare me to go into that and then prepare the students to accept me. Mm-hmm. Because I was the only one taking a subway for an hour and a half every day. I didn't have a country house. I couldn't go away on summer vacation. I just had to, you know, put my head down, do my work, and then come home and make the food and do the ironing, do the chores, you know, help my parents with the money. So that part, I wasn't prepared for that. And I think while I got a great education, I think from a sociological perspective, that was super hard.
And you work now on Prep for Prep. You have a role there.
Yeah, I'm on the board of directors for Prep for Prep. And as part of my last advertising agency job, we help them with the marketing that they do, because now it's changed so much. The way kids find out about programs is not through parents and not through teachers, but they themselves want to figure out where they go. So we have to change the marketing, the platform, the way we push the program. At the time, the program was about work super, super, super hard, which is a great message when you're a kid of an immigrant. The harder you work, the more you succeed. Today, different message.
We are, in so many instances, the first ones in our family that have a chance like that, that is able to get an education, graduate from college, get into corporate America, but we don't come with a manual of navigation, and neither does the rest of the world to accept us. So that piece of the navigation seemed to be, in a number of cases, the blockage that a lot of people find also really hard for the soul. In order to not only to propel you forward, how did you do it?
It's such a good question, and I think I only understand how I did it now. But the truth is, and I think this part is like, you know, it's a little embarrassing, me duela mucho, you know, hablar de esto, pero the reality is that when I was younger, the way to survive was to assimilate, right? That was the message. You become less of yourself, blend in, be more white. The whiter you are, the less they notice you. Mm-hmm. That was the way to survive. So I do think over the years, I feel like I shed more and more of my Latina self. I left it behind to become this person that I am now. And that was the way to survive. And it was fine. It was fine until there were moments where it really came to a point. Like when I went to high school, I was surrounded by a bunch of kids. I thought I fit in, even though I knew economically, socially, I didn't. And I remember, you know, kids saying, can you do the Rosie Perez? Do the Rosie Perez. Do that, you know, do that accent. And I would do it. I would do it because they would laugh. They would get, you know, they would be like, ah, she's one of, blah, 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 do it again. And I was part of it. And that's the truth. I let myself, I just, as if I wasn't worth anything, I became something I'm not. And then I basically provoked all of the laughter and conversation and the biases.
And that is how social groups do work. Everybody's like somehow assigned to have a role. The chubby kid that is funny, and the this one that is that. And I think that we never speak about like how easy it is when you play the stereotype to just like for being accepted.
That's right.
And what a hard thing it is to do.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I think if you fast forward to today, when everything is about bring your whole self to work, the question for me, what self? The one I left 40 years ago, the new one? I mean, I'm still trying to get in touch with who that person is, but every day that goes by, I actually feel like it's coming back, and I feel more Latina than I ever have, even if there was a period of time where I felt less so.
Banking on Cultura is a video podcast that taps into the vibrancy and complexity of Latino culture, entrepreneurship, and all the bonchinche in between. As your host, I will serve you the perfect shot of spicy intellect straight with no chaser, curating a space where taboo topics are the norm and Spanglish is the language of choice. From dating to business to adding too much sazon to your favorite dish, Banking on Cultura is the only show that stimulates and aligns your mind, body, and soul. We like to keep things transparent around here and give you a real behind-the-scenes look of what it takes to live out loud, secure the big bag, and embrace your Latinidad. So if you're anything like me and have felt disconnected to your cultura, or felt the need to tone down your Latinidad to fit in, or just yearning for a way to reconnect to your community, Banking on Cultura is the energy that you've been looking for. So join me, Victoria Jen Rodriguez, and the Banking on Cultura familia on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listen up, Latinas. In a world where your financial strength is your superpower, Money Lion is a sidekick you didn't know you needed. With top-notch tools and wisdom at your fingertips, it's time to take control and navigate the money maze like a pro. Whether you're saving for that dream vacay or launching your next big venture, MoneyLion is here to back you up. Dive in at MoneyLion.com or download the MoneyLion app. Juntas podemos lograr todo.
Are you ready to turn your best ideas into a thriving online business?
Introducing Shopify, your no excuses business partner. You might not realize, but our podcast, More Than Mamis, it's a business. And we started it, of course, to talk about maternity, not to become an e-commerce expert.
So yeah, we needed some help selling our merch and getting our store up and running. Woohoo! Another sale!
Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
No matter if you are a garage entrepreneur or a big business, Shopify is the only tool you need to start and grow your business without the struggle.
With Shopify Single Dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere, giving you the insights you need, whatever you are. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/sonoro to take your business to the next level today.
Shopify.com/sonoro.
Okay, now let's talk about work. You have worked in Omnicom for over 8 years in the umbrella. What do you think has been your superpower that made people pick you for very important roles too? Like, actually, can you talk about Omnicom and how you can move from one company to another?
Yeah. If I total up all the years at Omnicom, it's probably 20, by the way, because I started to really understand the power of advertising when I moved into Omnicom. So I started my career in New York, and then I moved to San Francisco to a place called Goodby Silverstein & Partners, which was a little creative agency in San Francisco, a part of Omnicom. And that's when I started to see, wow, advertising is about big ideas. It's about imagination. It's about possibility applied to like the biggest, most interesting problems. And I had a wonderful career there. And I have to say, this is a great example to me of that company and Omnicom. I wanted to move back to New York because I was pregnant with my second and my family was here. My husband's family was here. And so I took another job because Goodby did not exist in New York. And Goodby and Omnicom said, no, wait a minute. Why didn't you tell us? We're going to open an office for you.
Oh, wow.
So they opened an office for me. They said, you know, you can work 4 days a week. You can be your, you know, you can be there for your kids. And I did that. And it was like, wow. I mean, this is where it reinforced that the way I worked, which was like, I'm just going to learn. I'm going to be super curious. I'm going to put my head down and do my very best work. I was getting validation that I was being seen, you know, and it was working. And I got this amazing opportunity.
But did you leave and then they told you, or you were going to leave and you negotiated like...
I didn't even have to negotiate, but I said, I'm so sorry. This is the best company of my life. I love it. But I took this other job because, and they said, no.
Okay.
No, wait. And
dump
then
it.
They came, dump it. They came back with something I could not say no to.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
So I want to just tell our audience, because I've experienced this with many people in my teams, never quit a job without talking to your manager, because many times you're quitting a job because of something like that. I don't like what I'm doing. I want to do something else. Talk to your manager. They may have another place for you if you're good. And we rarely have those conversations. We just leave and then we learn, oh, there was a conversation to be had. And I think in my experience, younger generations are getting the message that you can actually have that conversation. You don't have to quit because
something's not working. You can be honest and then have a long career and move internally.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I did that for a few years and then I actually left because it didn't work out and I wanted to go client side. So I went to the client side and then I ended up coming back a year later.
But you were like a client side, like very short time.
Very short time, not quite a year. I ran wireless marketing for Verizon. It was a new era for Verizon. Diego Scotti was coming in as a new chief marketing officer, you know, wonderful sort of force, passionate, wanted to change a lot of things. He brought in a lot of, you know, a lot of great talent. I was lucky enough to be in that spot.
He brought you in?
He brought me in. He brought me in. To be honest, I did love it. I loved it very much. It was hard. It was different. It was different. You know, I mean, Verizon, any kind of operationally driven company, you have to just respect just how wonderful the operation of it is, how intelligent the people are. It just wasn't my cultural, just wasn't my soul was a little bit not connected to the work, but I love the people and I love the experience. And I loved being on the other side because I felt like I understood something I didn't totally understand being on the agency side. I thought I was the best with clients. But you go on the other side and like, I didn't even know half the story.
And I understand that creativity is a result of crisis in many instances. So when we look at our communities, we have been exposed to so much that probably our brain is prone to be creative and resourceful. So why don't we see more people like you running the agencies?
It's a good question. I don't know how many people like us know about this industry. I want to say that was probably a big obstacle for me. When I was in college, it was a specific track. You could be a banker. This was a long time ago. You could be a banker. You could be a consultant, a doctor, a lawyer. There was no path to creative services. It was actually prep for prep that came back into my life and said, there's an advertising agency that wants to get more diverse. Can you come in and, you know, see and meet with them? So I go there. This was a funny story for me. I go there and I'm one of 10 people of color because I loved it. I decided to go. It spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of 10 people of color and somebody is explaining advertising to all of us because none of us have ever done it before. And they said, you could be a writer, and this is what a writer does. You could be an art director. You could be in media. You could be in account management. Which one would you like to be in? And I said, well, I wrote for the paper in college, and I went to Harvard. So I wrote for a good paper at a good college. I would like to be a writer. And he said, that's okay. You can be an account person. And the door closed. That's it. Se cerró la puerta. Uh-huh. Because I didn't have a book. I didn't have creative experience. I didn't do all this other stuff that I had no idea was even a requirement in this business. That's why I do the creative ladder work, because, you know, it is about educating people on this industry. But I think my number one thing is, in this industry, I'm not sure how many of us know about it and how much the message is from the parents that the creative services industry is an industry that you should invest your time in, that is good for who you are.
Yeah. So you went to Harvard College?
Yeah. I went from prep for prep to a private school in New York City. And then I went to another private school in New York City, high school, a place called Trinity on the Upper West Side.
Trinity, famous, yeah, the number one school in the city.
And I went there as a result of prep for prep. Now, also because I always play around with this too much because I earned it. But obviously, you know, I got a lot of help and guidance. This program is magic, okay? This program is wonderful magic. So going through that school, I was now introduced to a whole pipeline of opportunities I never had before. So through the help of Trinity and Prep for Prep, I was introduced to a bunch of Ivy League schools, and I got an opportunity to go to Harvard. By the way, my sister went to Harvard before me. So that, you know, she opened that door for me. I got to experience it, and, you know, I graduated from Harvard in 97.
I was very surprised. I didn't go to Harvard College. I went to Harvard Business School. And before I went there, I expected to see mostly wealthy, like, white people. And it is very diverse.
It is.
Like, I think it's a... What's your perspective? Is it the school making an effort, or it's also that people from underrepresented backgrounds just work so much harder?
I think it's both. I think it's both. But I don't think we should minimize how hard people from underrepresented backgrounds work. I think we all know they have to work. We have to work so much harder than everybody else does. I do think when I got to Harvard, I felt like, you know, if I was one person at my high school that didn't fit in because of my socioeconomic background or what I look like. At Harvard, I was one of many who probably had the same experience. So all of a sudden, you have an instant comunidad, you know, that I didn't have before. And then that comunidad grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And so I do think that's what's happening in some universities. It starts with, it's what's happening in some industries, in some companies, is you can find more of yourself out there than you did when you were younger. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And we should give it to those programs like Prep for Prep. And I hope that with the changes, political changes, the opportunities are not taken away and that we're going to continue seeing opportunities and bridges that allow people like you come to the opportunity, take it and excel with it.
I mean, if this is not the best ad and if you're not the best ad for Prep, I don't know how to make a good ad.
Or for opportunity, right? Yes, like for affirmative action and to many other yes, programs that allow for those programs to exist.
Well, exacto. I mean, I am a product of an affirmative action era, and I know there's a lot of controversy around that, but I think, you know, I can confidently argue that I deserved every opportunity I received. Yeah. You know, it was I just came up in a system that was not meant for helping people that were not in, from a good background or had enough money, you know.
Now, can you talk to us about your career within Omnicom? You went back after Verizon and had more years of going from one agency to the other within the
Yes. So after Verizon, I went to a company called TBWA, Chiat Day, in New York, which is another Omnicom agency. And in that company, I worked for 7.5 years and again, rose quite steadily from managing director to president to CEO.
On the account side, not on the creative side.
On the account side, always on the account side. So I was brought up in account management and then eventually, you know, spanned into a leadership role more
broadly. What makes a great account person in an agency?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this because I feel super passionate about it.
I tell you, she's like, killing it.
She's going straight for the juicy questions. Yes. She prepared for this.
I'm going off script and asking all the juicy questions.
All the juicy questions. So remember I told you the story of the person who said to me, that's okay, you can just be an account person.
Right.
When he said, you can just be an account person, he made me feel like account people were nothing. And so because that door closed, it made me mad, like super fiery mad. And I was like, I am going to be the best account person you have ever seen so that we can redefine what account management is. So it was a little fire burning up inside of me. And I know for sure that that is what pushed me forward. And a great account person to me understands the business of the brands that we're working on, what obstacles exist between where we are today and where the business of that brand has to go and how creativity can be applied to that. Always managing the risk and the bravery that we're asking our clients to take on behalf of an idea with a safety net that helps us get there. That is a great account person. And then there's all sorts of important, critical operational things of how do I put together a team? How do I get everybody corralled around a problem? How to do motivation? How to keep relationships going, et cetera. But to me, it is, we have a goal that is from here to there, and it is my job to move us steadily there. Always pushing bravery, but with a little bit of safety net so you feel good about the brave decisions that you're making.
And so from an incredible account manager to the CEO and the C-suite, how did that happen? And I know that you're involved in the Circle of Women and other tools to prepare women. How was your experience to get to the CEO?
The CEO,
chair.
Latina CEO. I think the
she
biggest.
She loves saying
now,
that.
I love how much you love saying CEO. Yeah, I'm gonna keep saying it over and over again. Latina CEO, you've like given me an extra boost on it. I think there's a couple of things that happen. One is I realized that I'm good at transformation. I'm good at changing. I'm good at the hard stuff. You know, I think I was built for that. I think I was born into that. And I think if there isn't a problem for me to solve that feels impossible, I don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Because that is what we do, is like with what resources, in what way, with what imagination are we going to get from here to there? So I do think I've been put in those positions and I have capitalized on those positions. I think that's a big part of it. Not to mention the fact that I work at a company that is continuously rewarding that. And the benefit of Omnicom, and you asked this before, is you can move around to a bunch of different companies. They want you to grow. They want you to succeed. And when they see great talent, it's about opening doors, you know, to that talent to have more opportunities. So I do feel blessed by my own sort of upbringing and passion around it, but also the company that I happen to work for.
And I assume that you have, you know, like I can see how many people wanted to cheer you up and sponsor you or maybe advocate for you and see you succeed.
Yeah, I have felt that. You know, I have to say, I have felt a lot of hands on my back in the very best way, in the very best way possible. I got this incredible opportunity last year at this time. Last year at this time, I graduated from a Harvard Business School Executive Management Program. It was a 5-month, super rigorous program that was like a business school simulation. I never had a chance to go to business school, but John Wren from Omnicom sent me to this program because he wanted me to just have this incredible experience. And it was validating in so many ways, not just of my own personal thing, but I was one of 180 leaders, like same kind of level from around the world across the industries. And what that did for me was it made me realize that I was probably the only one in there from a creative background. Mm-hmm. And how important that discipline and that thinking is needed, even in industries that are not necessarily creative, you know, that you wouldn't consider creative, whether it's manufacturing or technology or healthcare. They all have creativity in them. So I got this amazing opportunity. I learned a ton. And then after that, he gave me this opportunity to come to be the CEO of BBDO of the Americas.
We had a guest, Adela Cepeda, who told us that in her career, she's always made time, like 10 or 20% of her time to learn and to educate herself. And I went through leadership training recently too. And I was just so thankful that I was able to remove myself from the day to day and just spend time reflecting. How was your experience going to HBS? And
it was a lot like that. I think the reason that it worked as a program is because I was there for 6 weeks on campus.
Straight?
3 weeks.
Okay.
2-3 week windows. So I started here and I did some online classes and then I went there for 3 weeks and lived with a living group. I lived in a dorm. I mean, I was immersed in it. I went to class Monday through Saturday and I do love learning. I loved college like crazy. I could do that all day, every day. So I was in my element. And then we had the experience of every night we would go back together as 7 or 8 of us and talk about the cases and prepare all of that stuff that I'd never gone through in business school. So I did that for 6 weeks, right? Those two different periods of time. Not to mention, you know, just the relationships and the, you know, we were all around the same age, around the same point in our career, going through around the same kinds of opportunities and problems. Is this right for me? What's my next step? Who am I? You know, how do I do the professional and the personal? Like literally, it was just an incredibly connected community. In fact, we're planning a reunion in July.
And did you see yourself as a CEO before that? Because
no.
A lot of the guests that we have had have experiences, mostly academic, where they are confronted to a new image of themselves that they haven't had, which is like, I can be a CEO, yeah. Latina CEO.
Yeah.
And that then becomes something that you can start sort of like manifesting, yeah. Opening up and...
Well, I think, so I before I went to it, I was the CEO of the New York office for TBWA. So I had gotten to be the CEO there. I think what I wasn't yet ready to declare was a bigger role than just that. And maybe just a larger opinion about the state of advertising and the need for creativity and the tension that exists between legacy and new thinking. And I felt more and more like, okay, I get what I'm supposed to do. I understand my calling. I see where this is going. So I do think that's what it did for me.
So being the CEO, work-life balance, talk about that.
I'll tell you a story that I think was the flipping point of how I manage it, okay? So I remember I said they opened up an office for me in New York. And the hard part about that is it was a brand new office. I had to keep it open all the time. I was working in New York like crazy. I was working in San Francisco like crazy. And it was a lot. It was a lot. Meanwhile, my husband was home with the kids. Fast forward to my husband didn't feel well one day. It got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I had a pitch. I had a super big pitch and the office was brand new. And if I didn't win this pitch, oh my God, the people that were employed, I was so much stress. He had to get rushed to the hospital. Okay. He had to go into surgery. They thought he had appendicitis or whatever. It was something advanced. Okay. And he was going to go into surgery. And he said, wait for the surgery. Wait, I need my wife to come here. I need to tell her that I love her, but she has a pitch. So just give her a few minutes. Okay. So sure enough, I didn't even know he had done that, okay? But sure enough, I go through the pitch. We lost the pitch, who cares? I get into a car, I can't get there fast enough. He goes in, he has this, he ends up having appendix cancer. And it is a major disruption of our life. You know, we had to move to Pittsburgh for him to get special treatment. He's fine now, but he's dealing with the aftermath of the cancer and the barbaric surgery. That for me was like, what is happening right now? What is happening? I am wearing this so much, right, that I am making him feel like he has to put off his own life because he's worried if he dies, he doesn't tell his wife he loves her. Mm-mm. I mean, this is...
I want to cry.
This is... I feel like I have tried to come to terms with this so many times. So that... It's a terrible story, but I share it because it's maybe a gift for somebody of like, don't go through that, please, because I shouldn't have needed that for la claridad of like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So when I'm home, I'm home. When I'm working, but I'm my family, whatever they need, whatever they want, I don't care about anything else but them, you know? And I think that today, the vulnerability of a leader to be able to share that kind of story, right? Mm-hmm. And then to say, my people, my employees, my people that I come to serve every day, it's not that I don't care about you. I just have these three people that I care about so much more.
Yeah.
You know? But that personal, whatever, this have it all, you just have to do the best you can, but always, always have an eye on the thing that's most important, which is, come on, la familia, always has to be that.
Yeah. And it's like sometimes, like you went for 6 weeks to HBS, right? They didn't go with you.
So. They didn't come with me. Yeah, no, when they came to visit, but we talked about it as a family. Yeah. Are you okay? I mean, I talked to my husband and my kids about this new job. It's going to be a little intense. Mommy's going to have to travel. How are we going to navigate? It was a family decision, you know? It's a family decision.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think it is really important that we start sharing all the pieces where we are trying our best. It is not that we have it all. We have a toolkit that we're trying to use as much as and as good as we can. And where parents had their toolkit that maybe was even more reduced than ours. And hopefully our kids will get it even more. But the more we share it, the less guilty we're going to be. And the faster we're going to get to that place. And maybe this is a good time to ask you, what advice would you give your younger self?
I think now, knowing what I know now and what my strengths are, I would say to my younger self, I wish, be more Latina now.
Yeah.
I honestly would, you know, because it's such a gift, you know, it's such a wonderful thing. And I know it has been a big part of why I'm successful. And I wish I just wasn't ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. But that's the reality of where we were at the time of, you know, you have to hide that in order to succeed. And I think actually, it might have been possible to succeed with it, you know, if we just maybe believed in it a little more.
Yeah. Well, the next generation. No.
Did you have to dial down a lot?
Yeah. I mean, I do think, I think, yeah. I mean, that's the sort of assimilation thing of, you know, I see how it works. The whiter you are, the more articulate you are. There's a reason I'm this articulate. You know, and that is because I noticed how my parents were treated when they had broken English. They couldn't speak well. Spanish was my first language. I learned English on Sesame Street. They would put me in front of the TV and I remember being like, no, my English is going to be perfect. But there were a certain group of people that could speak like that. And so the more I leaned into that, the further and further away I went from my Latinaness. I mean, it's true. You know, it's a terrible admission, but I just want to be real about what it was, you know. And so, you know, over time, I think I realized at some point, you know, the wonderful and beautiful thing about being a Latina is you can't suppress that thing forever. It's going to come out.
Yeah.
And I remember being in a big corporate on the 53rd floor of a wonderful client. I mean, this client was amazing. I loved this client. It was a room, and I never noticed it before, but it was a room of all, you know, white men in their 50s. And I was fighting for an idea or whatever it was, and the whole thing came out, and I'm like, oh my God, I feel so Latina right now, like, you know, llegué, I'm here. So that's the thing about it, is like, no matter how much you try to hide it, it's gonna come out.
So in 10 years from now, when we are sitting down again, having a new podcast, we're gonna ask you, like, so what did you do the last 10 years that you're so proud of?
Oh, I mean, aside from just, you know, having the happiest, most wonderful family on the planet, because honestly, that is like, that is to me the thing. I would love to think that the passion and excitement of what it means to be Latina has been applied to creativity and imagination and advertising, and you will feel and see us all around. That would be an amazing way to end my career.
This was just exceptional. I have to say, I learned so much. I was moved all throughout. Thank you so much for your wisdom and your vulnerability as well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you
for
having me.
Yeah, this was great. I'm so glad that we met. I know I treated you like I knew you from before, but now I feel like I know you from before. So thank you. Thank you for making us all feel comfortable. And thank you so very much, because with conversations like this, with openness like this, I hope that young Latinas can lead and succeed.
A la Latina!
Hola, A la Latina listeners. Meet your financial partner in crime, Money Lion. Elevate your money game with top-notch tools, expert advice, and a community that gets it. Dive in at moneylion.com or download the Money Lion app now. A la Latina is brought to you by Money Lion and produced by Melka Media.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. I'm a small business owner, and I believe that this is a great tool for other small business owners. In small businesses, you need to create a team. And if you're starting by yourself, Constant Contact can be the team that you need. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by the 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.